Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life and one of the key sections of Scripture, I believe. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, by the way, and glad you're on the program. One of the key passages of Scripture that I believe helps us understand how the Bible is the ultimate resource for life, how we can apply it to our life so that we can be prosperous and successful, as Joshua 1:8 promises. I think we find those chapters in Romans 6, 7, and 8. These are very dense chapters of Scripture that really seek to tell us how we can pursue a successful life through the Bible in the context of the Christian life, in the context of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, having died for our sins and rose from the dead. All right, what does that do for us who believe in Jesus, who want to live successfully, who want to use the Bible as the ultimate resource for life? What do we need to know? How do we do it? Paul is writing Romans, and these three chapters right in the middle of Romans give that answer. So we're going to be studying there. Especially Romans 6 and 7 are difficult to understand and are very often misunderstood. So we're going to dive into some of the most important verses in those chapters together this week. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" To which Paul answers, "By no means." So what is going on here with this question? Let me start in verse 1 and let's talk about the context. Why would anyone ever say, "Let's go on sinning so that grace may increase"? What a strange thing to say. Why does Paul even need to respond to that? Well, it has to do with the context of Paul's letter and the context of his ministry and the kinds of responses he's getting to what he's teaching. So let's just back up a few verses. I'm going to back up to Romans chapter 5, verse 18. All of these verses you need to study in the context of the whole letter, and it takes time and work to study, but the Bible says, hey, work pays off. Studying God's word will help you understand how God wants you to live and why, and will empower you to do it. But for our purposes, this program's short, so I'm just going to read through the verses, and I'm going to tell you how I understand them or what I believe they are saying, and I'd encourage you to do some study on your own. So Romans 5, verse 18, "Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification for life for all people." So Paul is talking about getting saved, going from knowing that you have sinned, knowing that you therefore are condemned by God, who is a righteous, holy judge. You will have to stand in his presence. You can't because you're in sin. You are going to be crushed by the weight of God's judgment. But you move from that position through the good news, through the gospel, to being saved, to being declared righteous, to being counted as someone who is a righteous person based on what Jesus Christ has done. So Paul is talking about the one trespass, that of Adam in the garden, eating the fruit, sinning. And because Adam sinned, we were in him in a sense, because all of us came from him. We're all part of that race. We're all part of Adam and his descendants. We make up this one family. When he sinned, we in a sense fell into sin, under the sin's power. We sin because we act like our father, Adam. And we come into this world just by nature. That's what we do. We imitate, we copy what Adam did. So that one sin brought sin and death to all people. But in the same way, Paul is creating a sort of an illustration here, application. In the same way, Jesus was perfectly righteous. And when we believe in Jesus, we get his righteousness. So we move from being in Adam to being in Jesus. We move from being under the bondage of sin and death to being in Jesus in righteousness and life. And so just as we were in Adam because we're descended from Adam, we become in Christ when we believe in him. That's what Paul's saying here. He continues in verse 19. He says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man," that's Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that's Jesus, who was perfectly obedient, the many will be made righteous. Verse 20, Paul talks about the law again. He says, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. Now, Paul's already talked about this a lot. What does he mean, the law was brought in so that the trespass may increase? Well, he's saying that when we hear God's law, either through our conscience that God has given us that speaks his law to us, or through his written instruction in the commandments in the Bible, we are not able to follow it. It is a perfect instruction, but we are imperfect people. So when we hear the law, what the effect is that we realize more and more how sinful we are. That is the primary benefit we get from the law, because we can't keep it. So really what it does is help us to see how far short we fall from God's standards. And then he says, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a mouthful. Here's what I think Paul is saying. I think that he's saying that when the law comes, when we encounter God's law, we realize how sinful we are. But when we encounter Jesus, we hear about how great God's grace is. And if you hear about what God has done in Jesus Christ, and you don't think you're a sinner, you don't think that you're condemned, you don't think you've done much wrong or that God shouldn't punish you, then God doesn't sound like a gracious God. What is the good news? I don't need good news. You know, I'm already a good person. Why would I need Jesus' righteousness given to me? But if you've been broken by the law, if your mouth has been silenced, as Paul said in Romans 3, because you realize, oh, I've broken that law, I've broken this law, then when you hear about what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, it makes God's grace sound all the much greater. And that's the context where Paul asks this question, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So Paul says, someone might hear my message, and they might say, oh, well, then sin is a good thing. If I sin, then God has to give me more grace to forgive my sin. So the more I sin as a Christian, the more gracious God looks. So I'm doing God a favor. I'm making him look like a gracious God by sinning a lot. Now, if that sounds ridiculous to you, it is. Paul is going to basically say as much. But Paul was encountering this kind of argument. I think people really misunderstood Paul when he talked about grace, to think that what Paul's message was an excuse to sin. In fact, many people today in the church will say that. Well, I believe in Jesus and I'm saved. Yes, this sin I'm committing is really bad, but thank goodness I know I'm going to heaven. And that's a type of way of making God's grace cheapened. It's what others have called cheap grace, to say, well, because I know I'm going to heaven, then I don't really need to worry about sin so much. And that's a very similar attitude towards what Paul is responding to here. And Paul says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So Paul says, no, the Christian life is one in which our relationship to sin is very different because of our relationship to Christ. If you don't have a negative relationship with sin, in other words, if you don't hate sin in your life, then you don't really know Jesus. You don't love Jesus. You can't love Jesus and not hate your sin. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that a Christian never sins, never falls. We had a whole week on that just the other week, what to do when you fall, because Christians do fall. But you don't want sin in your life anymore. You're working to get rid of it. And the rest of Romans 6, 7, and 8, Paul works this out and explains this and is going to say some things about God's law, about how important it still is to guide us to the place where we want to go since we've been saved. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.